structures and the places of drawing water. There shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. And I want to just stop here and, of course, point out this important phrase, lead thy captivity captive. The reason why it's important is because this is going to be repeated in the book of Psalms, and then it's going to be quoted in Ephesians about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So keep your finger here. Flip over to Ephesians real quick. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. This is an important thing to mention, so might as well stop and touch on it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, while you're turning there, I'll start reading verse 4. There's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended, he is Christ. When Jesus Christ ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and so on and so forth. So the Bible talks about here that Jesus led captivity captive, and it brings up the fact that he ascended up to heaven, but that before he ascended up to heaven, he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, a lot of people just think, oh, he just went straight to heaven, right? Died on the cross, and boom, straight to heaven. Well, no, because before he ascended, he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Okay. Now, we know that when he ascended was actually after he spent 40 days with his disciples, you know, showing himself alive for over the course of 40 days and teaching them and instructing them. And then he ascended up, and they all watched him go up in a cloud. And then the angels came and told them, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Right? So that's the ascension. What's the descension? Well, the descension is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, remember, he has the sins of the whole world upon him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ, when he's on the cross, took upon himself all the sins of the world. The Bible says he, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So when Jesus was on that cross, he in his body had all the sins of the world. I mean, he embodied all that sin. He became sin for us. So when Jesus Christ on that cross, that's why it became totally black and dark upon the face of the earth. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? So God the Father basically turned his back on Jesus in that sense. You know, the Bible says that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. And so because of the fact that Jesus Christ embodied all that sin and became sin for us and took upon him the sins of the world, that broke fellowship between God the Father and Jesus. Fellowship was broken. You know, before that, they'd had fellowship. You know, all even before the world began, they had love and fellowship and communion. And then when Jesus is on this earth, you know, he's in constant communication with the Father. He's praying to the Father. He's doing the things that please the Father. The Father even spoke from heaven a few times and said, thou art my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and encouraged him. And so this is broken at the cross. There's this rift at the cross between God the Father and Jesus. And so Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't say, did you forsake me? Why have you forsaken me? So guess what? He was forsaken because of the fact that he is being punished for the sins of the whole world. So God the Father turns his back upon him. Okay, so when you think about Jesus Christ dying for the sins of mankind, dying with all the sins of the world upon him, You know, then it makes sense that when he died, his soul did not go to heaven. His soul went to hell for 3 days and three nights because of the fact that he's inundated with all that sin. You know, where is a sinful soul going to go? To hell. Now, obviously, Jesus did not do any sins. There was no guile found in his mouth. But he who knew no sin became sin for us. So he, the Bible says, descended into the lower parts of the earth. That is referring to going to hell. And he was in hell for 3 days and three nights. Now, the reason that this is using the word captivity is because hell is sort of like a jail cell, if you think about it. It's a prison. And the Bible talks about the devil being in hell for 1,000 years in the end times. And then it talks about him being released from his prison. Okay, so hell is referred to as a prison or as a jail. That's where souls are held captive there. They don't want to be there, right? Nobody wants to be in hell. They're being held there against their will. So that's a type of captivity, all right? And so we see here that Jesus led captivity captive. What does that mean to lead captivity captive? Well, if we understand the story about Barak, then it makes more sense. Barak starts out as a person who's living in a country that's not a free country. He is in captivity. Yes, the Israelites are in their own land, but they're still in captivity because they are captive to the Canaanites. And so Barak led his captivity captive. And what that means is that he turned the tables on the captors, right? So think about this. If you're a captive and then you turn around and you take your captors captive, you've led captivity captive. Makes perfect sense, right? So that's what Barak did. He gets them on the run. Now they're his captives. He led captivity captive. So what does it mean when Jesus led captivity captive? Well, Jesus went from being in hell to then 3 days later resurrecting from hell. But here's what he said. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now that's leading captivity captive when you basically are sent there as an inmate, but then you end up with the keys. That is leading captivity captive. Jesus Christ went there with the sins of the world. That's how he went in, right? But then he arose victorious, having conquered death and hell, and saying, I have the keys of hell and of death. And you know, when